You're listening to an Epic Film Guys Cinema Beat Minisode.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a very special podcast minisode. I don't know why.
I got a little dick. It's pathetic.
It's a Bill Paxton little dick episode.
I'm sorry. We're talking about Marvel.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am, of course, Nick from the Epic Film Guys.
And I am Justin from the Epic Film Guys podcast.
Check.
No, get out of here. You're not in here.
No, well, he decided not to be here, but we are going to be talking about, ladies and gentlemen, phase one for the Marvel Cinematic Universe leading up to Infinity War, which is going to be landing. It's happening soon, man. It's just, you can feel it in your bones.
Like less than 3 weeks for me. Actually, it's happening, 20 days, something like that.
We're not one of those podcasts that's going to go through and dissect every single film, but we're going to do a quick little run through of phase one, phase two, and of course, phase three that got us to this. 10 years in the making. We've lived through it. And yes, we've been known as, well, Nick has been known, Nick has been known as, well, kind of a Marvel hater throughout. If you want to explain yourself there for a minute before we get started, Nick.
It's crazy, right? I mean, am I being an asshole? Okay, I feel like everybody in the room is looking at me like I'm the buzzkill.
Sometimes, yeah, a little bit, but rightly so, though.
I am actually,
I feel like, yeah.
In all fairness, phase one Marvel, nah. No, I mean, aside from the villains, which I think the villains in phase one definitely needed some help. But we were just kind of starting to get introduced to this formula. So let's run down what we got in this phase, Justin. We got the Incredible Hulk. We got Norton's Incredible Hulk. Iron Man 2.
We have Thor.
Thor. Captain America. And, of course, all of it culminating in Avengers.
The Avengers. The big one. That's right, baby.
The big guy. So, I mean, yeah, phase one, I was actually pretty high on Marvel at the time, like way back in the day, 10 years ago. If you think about it, the first Avengers movie came out in 2012.
I remember. We were working together, man. I remember you had actually seen the first Avengers 2 times in theaters before I even had a chance to see it a second time. So,
I mean, it's
there was a lot of excitement there.
It's definitely, I think that of these films, which of these films would you say probably... If you were to rewatch any of these Marvel films, and I don't necessarily know that I'm going to because I just don't have the time before fucking Infinity War. Which of these films in phase one, if you were going to rewatch any of them before you went to see Infinity War, which one would you rewatch?
Well, let's face it. Let's go out on a limb here. I'm going to be honest with you. We just have to face the facts. Avengers is one of the best comic book films of all time. There's been rarely a film that has topped it, in my opinion, and it still is up there right now next to Superman the movie, The Dark Knight, you name it. Nothing's come anywhere near jumping above it. However, the one that I want to revisit the most that I feel like, that I love out of phase one the most, is Iron Man. Because it was the first movie, Nick, that gave us a different kind of superhero. This guy is not necessarily right off the bat a likable guy. And I remember as we were leading up to this discussion tonight, I thought a lot today at work about how I grew up and the comic book characters that I grew up loving and the comics that I actually grew up collecting. Because now I don't collect comics. We both have made that clear on the podcast. We don't read comics as adults. But growing up, I loved reading comics and collecting them and watching the comic book cartoons. And Iron Man actually had a cartoon come out in the mid-90s. That was at a time when Fantastic Four got a cartoon. Hulk got another new cartoon after Spider-Man had made waves with his cartoon. And I loved Iron Man. I thought he was a very interesting character. And he's a dick. He's not all that friendly. He's this rich guy who's a prick, and he likes to drink. He has a drinking problem in a lot of the comics, and he likes to blow shit up. He's an arms dealer in some of the comics. And, you know, for me, going into the first Iron Man, I was extremely surprised. I mean, Robert Downey Jr., we all knew him from any movie from the 80s. We all loved him. He had not had a great Hollywood career in the 90s into the early 2000s. And then we got Iron Man in 2008. And man, dude, right next to The Dark Knight, that was a huge hit that year. And that led me to believe that comic book movies could be different. And I felt like Robert Downey really lived and breathed through that role. And that led me into being really excited for more Marvel Cinematic Universe films. I just think that that's the one film that still stands out to me that I want to rewatch. Now, all of these films that we've discussed in Phase 1, Iron Man, The Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, Thor, The First Avenger, Marvel's The Avenger, I saw opening night, midnight showings. Yes, that's when they were still a thing. Midnight showings. That's right, people. Yeah, it still happened at midnight. But I just find myself, Nick, wanting to go back to the first Iron Man, Jon Favreau.
Yeah. And I don't necessarily know that I would go back to Iron Man. I think I would go back to Cap. I think I would go back to the first Avenger. I've always loved Captain America.
I know that's your thing. Yeah.
He's my guy. I love him. I he's been my favorite character throughout the entire run of the MCU. I love his film. I don't think that people give Joe Johnson's film enough credit, to be quite frankly. I think that a lot of people actually kind of shit all over it now. I don't know why it kind of became fashionable to really dislike that film. You got Hugo Weaving is probably one of the best villains in Phase 1 in the Red Skull.
Just most underused, I would say, because he's so good in it, though. He's so good in it.
And I absolutely love the film. I love, you know, the period setting, the World War II setting. Hydra is established as like this really, really big threat. It's just great. And I mean, man, Evans is just fantastic in this role. I think if you had to pick, Justin, if you had to pick anybody, and this is a tough question to kind of throw right at you, willy-nilly, and my answer would be Evans, but who would you say, especially in Phase 1, is the best cast out of like any of the heroes?
I would definitely go back to Robert Downey.
Yeah.
Only because he perfectly fits into that Iron Man character and his public persona as a person, Robert Downey Jr., it fits right in with the Stark character. He had been known for substance abuse. He had had problems in Hollywood. He was a, you know, Hollywood bad boy, and it fits right in with that Tony Stark persona. But I will not lie, because we just got done talking about A Quiet Place earlier on, even though this will be a separate piece from that review on the Epic Film Guys podcast, John Krasinski himself was actually in the running against Chris Evans to be Captain America when the film was first slated to be made. And I'm actually really glad that Evans got the role. Now, here's the weird thing. When he got the role, Nick, this was at a time when it wasn't a normal thing for someone to jump from one comic book movie to another. He had been Human Torch already. Yep. He had been Human Torch twice in two, so I wouldn't say necessarily failed, but somewhat mediocre, not that big of a hit movies starring the Fantastic Four. And he was great in both of those. I liked him in both of those. And, well, if you go back even further than that, Nick, you'll remember a little shitty movie that I love to this day that's extremely gross, a little spoof film called Not Another Teen Movie. I'm not sure if you remember that.
Oh, God.
But Chris Evans plays the high school quarterback in that movie. He's mirroring what Freddie Prinze Jr. does, and She's All That. And he's great in that, too. And he got the role in these big, huge budget motion pictures for Marvel. And I agree with you so much. I feel like if I had to rank them, which we're not doing officially right now, but out of the list for Phase 1, it would be, for me, The Avengers number one, two Iron Man, and of course three, the first Avengers, because I cannot agree with you more. I love the period piece. Joe Johnson directed one of my favorite comic book movies of all time, still in my top five, which is The Rocketeer.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gets period perfectly. He knows how to handle these characters during this time frame, and I feel like they nailed that genre, because it feels like almost like an old school serial, Nick, in the sense that it's like a cliffhanger, the way that it's shot, like it's got all of those elements, as well as a modern comic book feature, and it's got fucking Tommy Lee Jones in it. I mean, he's in a small role, but people forget that he's in that movie.
And I want to actually throw some love over to Thor as well, because a lot of people really shit all over the first Thor film. Thor's had the dubious distinction of having the quote-unquote worst MCU trilogy out of all of the solo characters. I don't necessarily know if I agree with that.
What's that? Okay. 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 To be fair, then, the only other worst trilogy there could be then would be the Iron Man trilogy, which, okay, if we wanted to come to terms with that, I can see your point.
I think it's close between Iron Man and Thor for me because of the weakness, because of how weak Thor the Dark World is. But think about the great elements that you get in Thor. Now, I've talked about it many a time, but I love Kenneth Branagh. I love his Shakespeare adaptations. I love that he brings that kind of Shakespearean feel to Asgard. Sir Anthony Hopkins, and it gave us Tom Hiddleston as Loki, as Scott LaVar mentioned over there in the live chat. I absolutely love the first Thor movie. Yes, the stuff on Earth is not the best. Natalie Portman, as much as I love her, really doesn't have much of a place in these films.
Kind but of she's glad still that good Ragnarok in it, though. She's still good in it, though. I think she's still good. And then we have Anthony Hopkins in it as well. Yeah, and he's really, really great in the film. I mean, I feel like it's the introduction to a character, Nick, that no one really knows about, to be fair, unless you're a comic book reader. Because let's face it, when I was growing up, as I just said earlier on in the review, yes, I knew who Iron Man was. Yes, I followed Fantastic Four, all the smaller name characters, but I was never a Thor fan. But this movie, I remember going to see opening night, Nick, not that far from you, at the Owego Theater. Wow. Not a 4K theater, not a good quality theater, old seats from like the 50s, and a lower quality theater. And I enjoyed the hell out of the movie. I thought it was fantastic. And not even a strong villain other than Loki to be had there. I think it set things up perfectly, and it showed us that, above all, Chris Hemsworth is a great hero, and he's great in the role, and it made me actually like the character of Thor.
Yeah, Thor, I think Thor fares better in the ensemble pieces. He fares much better in Avengers, even Ragnarok, which is much more of an ensemble piece than, say, the first or second Thor movies is, because you got all the other characters that get thrown in there. He really works well when you pair him with other characters, such as we get in Phase 1, Justin, we get two Hulks. We don't not only get Mark Ruffalo's Hulk, which is, of course, the Marvel MCU Hulk that's gone forward from here, but we also had the Ed Norton Hulk. Now, I will go out on a limb. I'm going to say,
let's hear it.
I don't think Incredible Hulk is that bad of a film. I really don't.
I don't either.
I love the Abomination fight. I absolutely love the Abomination fight. I think it's really, really great. Tim Roth as a villain, I think, is probably, in terms of overall Marvel villains, you got to put Tim Roth up there.
Why do you think, Nick, I have to ask you this question, why do you think people want to forget about this movie so easily? I mean, no one talks about it.
I don't know.
It's forgotten immediately. I saw this shit opening night at a midnight showing at AMC Lowe's in Vestal, and I actually really enjoyed it. There's some problems with it, but I was really excited to see Ed Norton continue that character. Now, we know there was some issues with him, and he wanted to like write, and he wanted to do more creatively with the character, and there were some things that they didn't agree with, whatever, but I liked what he did in that movie, and actually really, it's better than Ang Lee's Hulk, for sure.
Yeah,
and maybe the only Hulk... That. It may be the only solo Hulk film we'll get ever again at this point.
Yeah. And like I said, I really enjoy it. Like I said, I think Tim Roth is a great villain. Like, especially, like I said, compare him to the fucking Ironmonger that we get in the original Iron Man film. Even I don't think he's all that great, you know?
I mean, but it is Jeff Bridges, though.
It is Jeff Bridges, so. And we all love Jeff Bridges. But, I mean, you know, I mean, come on. Like, he's... I think Tim Roth really has that kind of badass attitude to him, makes his transition into Abomination, and then he and Hulk just have one of the biggest fucking throwdowns.
Last fight is what everyone wanted, though. And that, I feel like leading up to that movie, they knew that with Ang Lee's Hulk, I mean, at the end of that movie, Hulk's just throwing around tanks, you know, he's just chucking stuff around. And it was way more of a dark, weird, small little... personal film that Ang Lee wanted to make than like a big budget comic book.
Tried to take
movie.
Hulk indie almost.
Kind of. Yeah. And I still appreciate a lot of elements of that movie, and I don't hate on that movie. I still own it on DVD. Yes, I still own DVDs. Just saying. But you know, with what they did with the Incredible Hulk, I was like, oh, this is a good change of pace for the character. And it wasn't a huge failure or anything. Just people wanted to forget it because let's face it. It was the same year as The Dark Knight. It was the same year as Iron Man. So people were like, it just kind of slipped through the cracks.
And to the other comic book movies that came out in 2008. We can definitely say that.
But then let's lead up to, so we've talked about everything else, and then leading up to The Avengers, we've already touched on the first Avenger, which we both agree we both love. Chris Evans is great. It's one of Joe Johnson's great films. Great pulp comic book movie. We've got... Iron Man 2. Whiplash, Sam Rockwell, who's great in the movie, but God, I just feel like it was
such a complete waste of the talents of Sam Rockwell and Mickey Rourke. Complete waste of both of them. Mickey Rourke was coming hot off of The Wrestler. Most of his character arc and most of his scenes they left on the cutting room floor. And he put a lot of work into that character. You can still see it in the film. Yeah. Sam Rockwell is just always amazing, but criminally underused in the movie. You know, they had the whole thing where Don Cheadle has to come in as War Machine because Terrence Howard didn't want to come back. Terrence Howard wanted a bigger paycheck than Robert Downey Jr.
A way bigger paycheck.
Yeah. And they were like, dude, no. So they bring in Don Cheadle, who, you know, of course, he's our MCU character going forward. These were the shaky days for Marvel. Character shakeups, actor shakeups. You know, you were still trying to find your footing. Like, people loved Iron Man, but Thor had its criticisms. Even, like I said, I don't see them, but a lot of people did criticize Captain America, the First Avenger, and everything. And then you get Iron Man 2, which is essentially a shit show. It's a shit show. It throws him in there against these ridiculous, like, 100 robots, like 100 just automated robots. You get another robot ally that's just wearing a gray Iron Man suit with a big missile launcher on its back. And it just felt creatively a little dry. It just really, really did it. And the problem is, and I think one of the problems of this, Justin, this came on 2 years after the first Iron Man did. This came out really fast after the first Iron Man film came out.
Well, because they didn't think that the first one was going to do as well as it did.
Yeah, they kind of rushed it.
Yeah, they fast-tracked it as fast as they possibly could. And I won't say that Iron Man 2 is an awful movie. I don't think it's trash, but I think it's very weak, extremely weak.
I think of Phase 1, I think it would be my only negative rating out of all the films in Phase 1. I think it would be the only one that I would
probably be the most negative rating out of all the films, only because it isn't that good at all. There's nothing that stands out to me. There's nothing memorable about it other than Robert Downey Jr. I mean, he carries those films.
Yeah.
And we'll get into this as we get into Phase 2, but I mean, we'll leave it at that. I don't want to talk about who has the worst trilogy out of all these characters
We'll definitely get there. But everything finishes up. You get all these out of the way. Iron Man 2, essentially, a lot of it is a commercial for what would then come in the Avengers. And I don't know about you, Justin, but for my money, Phase 1 through Phase 3, all the films that we've seen in Marvel so far, Avengers is still my favorite film. And I think you mentioned that earlier as well.
There's no question there. It's not only my favorite, it's one of the best.
Yeah.
It set the bar for team-oriented comic book movies and team-oriented action films. I mean, we saw the Expendables films change after that. We saw a lot of different movies try to do the same thing, the same formula after the first Avengers, and we've not been able to see a movie that matched it ever since. We saw what happened with Justice League. We're not going to bring that up.
Within Marvel, we'll talk about it in Phase 2, but when we get to Avengers Age of Ultron.
You know? But I mean, we see where it was perfected and how hard it was for them to come to that. And I feel like it was that lightning in a bottle where they came together. The timing was right. Everything was perfected up until that point, and Whedon got it, and they nailed
the
it. And they nailed
so
it
well
hard.
Off of each
and
other.
They had the right villain.
And it had a good story. It had a really, really decent story. And of course, in the story for Avengers, the after credits scene, that's where we get our first glimpse of Thanos, who eventually, you know, would become the big bad that we're going to see. And hopefully he's going to kick a lot of ass in Infinity War. We'll see.
We're finally going to see, you know, how many years later? 6 years later?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It's been that long. It doesn't feel like it's been that long, honestly. 6 years isn't that long.
I mean, if you look at the effect shots from the Avengers and then from Guardians of the Galaxy to what he looks like in Infinity War, it feels like it's been forever because, man, he's gotten a lot cleaner.
I guess so.
In terms of his effects.
It's crazy how sitting back here with you, Nick, and living this with you, because we watched these movies together, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we watched Avengers the same weekend together. Yep. And ever since that movie, we've watched all of these movies, at least
opening weekend, if not together.
Especially
a lot of Phase 2 movies.
So, I mean, this
we're talking
is such
the
special
birth
thing
of the epic film, guys, back in the days of Phase 2. So I'm eager to talk about that because a lot of those films we got to see in theaters together.
Almost every one of those films we saw together.
Yeah.
Almost all of them. Including almost all of them.
Iron Man 3. Thor the Dark World. Guardians of the Galaxy. Man, it's going to be fun to talk about Phase 2. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about. But overall, I think... do you want to save ranking the phases until we get to Phase 3 when we talk about Phase 3?
You know what I think 3? We should do? Why don't we throw it to our live stream in here? I know Jared is a big fan of Marvel films as well, the good ones. Let's ask them real quick. Give them a couple minutes and ask them, should we rank them at the end or rank them individually by phase right now? What do you think, guys?
Yeah, what do
rank
you think? What do you guys end? Want to see?
What do you think? All right, so there we are. 2-1 at the end. We're going to rank them by phase at the end, all of them through and through.
We'll put them all in order. We're going to have to develop that master list. And, you know, I mean, they're going to look pretty similar. And I don't know when it's coming out. I have to ask winners. But probably within the next couple of weeks, the MCU fantasy movie draft that I took part in, Director Brennick also took part in. And yeah, we drafted Marvel films. We did 4 rounds. So we drafted 16 films in total. So there were only 2 Marvel films that got left out of the conversation. Only 2 Marvel films that did not get picked because there were, like I said, 16 right out there. So that's going to be coming, so stay tuned for that over on Hopester's Dumpster, over on the Epic Film Guys Twitter, Facebook page, everything. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun, but this was a lot of fun, Justin. Great to talk Marvel. See, I knew you. He hummed and he hemmed and he hawed and he was like, I don't want to blah, 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 blah. But then we got talking about Marvel and Maine. You get him talking and it just, you hit your microphone, apparently. No, we didn't steal picks from each other, Dan. You stole all of my fucking picks, you fuck.
The realization is that we've lived through this together as friends. We've known each other since the beginning of the, as we call it in parentheses, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, or as Epic Film Frog would like to call it, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So we've kind of lived this together. Through thick and through thin, through you loving and wanting to see these movies and then to you hating on them and not wanting to see them until recently going to see movies again, Marvel movies, and enjoying them. And yeah, it's a thing, dude. It's a great experience.
It's been a weird journey with Marvel. Like I said, phase one, largely very positive with exception of Iron Man 2. There's definitely some films with some flaws in there, but overall, I would rank it very positively. So it's going to be a little bit of a change of pace. And if you ever wonder where the Marvel hatred that we, especially when we started the podcast, came from, you'll find out next week when we talk about Marvel Phase 2.
Ooh,
Jesus Christ, what a black hole that is. But we'll save that for next time. In the meantime, thank you guys very much for tuning in to this very special Epic Film Guys minisode. I'm Nick.
And I am Justin, and catch us next week for Marvel Phase 2. As we discuss that, we lead on for the brand new Marvel film hitting theaters. I can't wait. Infinity War.
Is the Buckcuts Wagon going to be in it?
Infinity War.
Oh, that's what it is. Infinity War. Thank you all very, very much for listening. And ladies and gentlemen, we will see you
at the movies.
Boom. Shake it up, shake it up. Now, boom. Shake it up, shake it up.
Shake it up, shake it up. Now, boom.
Shake it up. Shake it up.
Hang him. Shake it up. Kill him. Hang him. Hit him.
Film frog. Epic mo fucking film frog.
What the hell?
This was a podcast from the Podfix Network. You can check out more shows like it at podfixnetwork.com.